Hey folks, hey Susan, Sophie, nice to see you here. So this is the evening call for our July graduate support. July is always a funny old month. We actually take a break in August, so there's no call next month. But I think anyone who's got kids is often not here in July, so it's usually a bit of a small one. But we had a group of about half a dozen people in the morning call. So if folks are listening in to this one or watching the replay, there's some fun stuff in there as well. So Sophie and Susan, do either of you have anything you want support on today? Susan's like, no, I'm good. And so I've had a half-formed thought.
Yeah, I can try and muster something. I just need to
Well, you
make it
don't
make
have
sense.
to. We can all like just have it, we can just relax. But I just want to make that available to you. So
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, give me a minute.
well, and I guess I'm curious to know, Susan, how you're doing after running the first creation station call. How did that go?
It was really fun. I've had a lot of epiphanies and takeaways.
Nice.
The main thing that I realized was we're with Creation Station, we're breaking an important coach tenet, which is the fixing of the thing with our client. Because when you think about the coaching, you're not supposed to fix for your client. You're supposed to help them figure out A, what they want, B, what's getting in the way, which is a lot of the self-doubt work, and then C, help them come to their own, this is my idea, this is my plan, this is what I'm going to go do. Creation Station is actually intended to be in the fix-it place. And so I've been doing a lot of thinking about how to actually describe what Creation Station is. It is the intersection of the self-doubt coaching with the fixing of the thing. And
Well, yeah, and like getting something done.
yeah. So but it's interesting because what I noticed was in working with one of the people who came was that the fix it part jumped out in front. And that wasn't very productive. There that I needed to kind of go through the well, what, tell me what it is you're out, more download, more, tell me more. And then we can get to the fix-it part. It was extremely helpful for me as a coach. Both the people brought things that had me going, oh, I could try that, or I could do this, or so. And I know that they both left feeling kind of reorganized a little bit, but the first work, the first client, so to speak, was bumpy. I felt it was bumpy, and I felt like, what it, why, what, So I also disclosed, I feel like I'm not being terribly helpful. And so in short, I think it went really well. There's some major takeaways about how to describe what we're trying to do. And so I have better words around that. And I also feel a lot more reorganized about how I want to approach it as the facilitator of the call. So, for a first call, it was 120% wins because it was bumpy, because it was a little awkward in places, and because I hadn't really quite known what it was going to be like. So
Well,
that's my full
and
report.
one of the things I'm playing with at the moment is sometimes you don't know if you can do the thing until you do the thing. And it's like there's no guarantees. There's nothing. And what I love and just really want to acknowledge you for, Susan, and this is why I knew you'd be perfect for this, is your courage to just say, this is what's coming up for me. Is so profoundly safe for coaches. And I think that's the thing is in this kind of dynamic, like this is a peer group. There's no real hierarchy. I mean, yeah, I'm hosting it and I've got some stuff to share and I want you to receive being taken care of by me. But equally, this is a peer kind of circumstance. In the same way that Creation Station is. And so it's kind of like we're in this together. Let's muck through, Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. And I just want to say, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, because it, besides the learning part and the, oh, I have some words I can put to this and some clarity, was just feeling like, oh, this gives me so much juice. So what is that telling me as a coach and in my business? What can I learn by how much I love this about what else, where else I could play and how else I could play? So that's such a gift, Sess, and I wanted to thank you for that.
I love you for that. It's just awesome. And the thing is, Susan, right? Like, it's like anything. The 20th time you do that call is going to be totally different from the first time.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to August, because we will have an August call.
Nice. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm so, so glad. Thanks, Susan. Thanks for sharing. Kate's joined us. Amazing.
Hi. I wanted to ask, when is the Creation Station? Oh, Sophie just also asked the same question. Yeah. I should know that. But when is it?
I'm going to wait for Susan to respond, because I'm not 100% sure.
You're muted, Susan.
Here we go.
Great.
Sorry, I was putting it in writing. So it's August 10th. It's the second Wednesday of every month.
Great.
We've scheduled it at least through, I think, November, and then we're going to stop and say yes more, no more, whatever. And you have the times there, and it is on my Zoom account. So yeah. I think you have to look for a missive from Sass and Lucy, or it's on the graduate site.
Yeah, on the graduate site. And Lucy is in the process of setting up like a graduate calendar, or just adding all of these additional calls to the graduate calendar. So you can just subscribe to that and it automatically populates your calendar, which will be super easy for people.
That's great. I was just trying to add these calls to the calendar, so it'd be great to have all of them in.
Exactly. Perfect. Yay. Yeah, I'm practicing welcome. With letting go of details. I'm okay at it. I'm all right. I'm not great. I'm all right. Yeah,
it's a practice, isn't it, Sass?
Yeah, totally a practice.
I both can't let go of the details and also can't remember any of the details, so it's a real problem.
I think if anyone's ever done your Myers-Briggs thing, if you're a P, I think there is like a relationship with time and details. I think that's a little less, and if you're a J, you're more comfortable with like getting being early, knowing the details, all of that jazz. So I'm not those things. So it's like, it's, and I have to keep reminding myself, it's not a blood type, it's a preference. So I can learn detail and I can be on it, but it's out of preference for me. So anywho, I digress. Kate, do you have anything?
No, not at the moment. I'm sure something will come to me. I just wanted to come on and hear others and connect with others. But I can think. Nothing's off the top of my head. Sorry.
Totally fine. Totally fine. Soph, do you have anything?
Yeah, I'm just thinking through this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it okay just to speak some words and see
what totally, happens? Be totally vague and scattered. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
So basically, this client that I was talking about last time, where I was like, I don't know if it's appropriate to introduce self-doubt tools into this. Like, it's not what she came for, but I kind of feel like there's a need and it would help her with some other stuff that she spoke about. And I actually can't remember how I managed to offer it to her, but I did offer it to her at the end of the last session. It must have felt... I was just looking at my notes to see what the last thing I wrote down was, and I've written something about perfectionism. I think it must have felt like I could say, like, this could be part of a bigger thing that's going on. Like, would it be helpful to have this tool? So I sent her the quiz, and I actually was so interesting how you fill in the gaps, isn't it? Like, I hadn't heard back from her. I gave her the quiz. She gave me the results and I gave her the documents like straight away a couple of weeks ago. And I hadn't heard back, and I was like, oh, maybe she hates it. Maybe she's really confused. Like, maybe all this. And then I got on the call just now and she was like, this is amazing. I'm so intrigued. I'm really fascinated by this. Like, so much of it resonates and makes sense. And she definitely had, so she had something in each, in three of the four quadrants. And she was kind of like, this is in my relationship, this is in my work. Like, she really, like, I gave her a bit of guidance about that when I sent the thing. So that was really cool. And yeah, so partly I'm just like celebrating that, but also she started to talk about like family dynamics. Like, it wasn't, it was kind of, so she talked about having a younger brother and some stories and narratives that have, yeah, come about in her life relating to her brother. And I'm trying to process in my head, like, how I can, I think what I need to do is sit down and like kind of write some questions out for myself about like, how does this interact? Like, what is the relationship between these two things? Because I just wanted to have like an open discussion with her this time, and we just kind of talked about it in very loose terms. Yeah. And we were coming to the end of the session too, but I feel like I want to next time do something with that. Like, it feels like there's something there basically, like, in, cause she told a lot of, there were a lot of things that felt like they had become protective beliefs about like the way that she sees herself, particularly like, I'm trying to think of an example relating to an archetype. I think, is it the altruist that's kind of, its thing is worried about being good enough? I can't remember. No, maybe that's, anyway, one of them. Yeah. And it basically, that there was a connection from what I could tell. But yeah, I just wondered if that's something that you've ever like worked with people, like the sibling dynamic thing, and are there any like pointers of how I could approach that, or like things to look out for? Yeah, just that. So it's basically a curiosity thing.
I just really want to like acknowledge that last time we talked, it was kind of, there was this, my sense was a real hesitation around having, I guess, giving yourself permission to introduce this to this client. And, and you know, it felt to me like coming very much from this kind of ethical place of, this isn't quite what she signed up for.
And yeah.
Are we, is this still okay? And it sounds like you've navigated that in a really graceful way. And that takes some courage, right? Because you could have just bypassed that altogether and carried on regardless.
Yeah, I think I was tempted.
Right? Yeah. And it sounds like what this has opened up is this other space where she can see how she's maybe responding to that with some perfectionism, right? That creates, somehow that creates some safe, the sense of safety for her. And so, and I love that the question is, so do, you know, sibling dynamics, well, you know, do we need to know about that, is what I'm hearing, right? Like, is that something we can play with? And what I would offer is, with this work, it's a pretty broad church, right? In terms of like the scope of self-doubt, it's going to show up for our clients in all kinds of areas. And what I can see some of us, and I know I did, it did get a little like maybe caught up in, do I now need to be like a family systems constellations coach? And do I need to be an expert in all of these different specialities? What I would offer is that I haven't done that for good reason. I think when we specialize in those kinds of areas, we can end up starting to see that that's where everything lies. Like, it almost like the specialism kind of takes you down a lane.
Yeah.
And I think if you can stay with this idea of what is the pain that, or the discomfort, the unhealthy responses that this protective belief is creating in your life, then it sort of frees you up, because it can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, what we're not that interested in the detail of where this has come from. What we're interested in is coaching the client in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this has some root causes, probably in a sibling dynamic, that's led your client to want to respond through reaching some very high standard that she set for herself. Somehow that equals safety.
Yeah.
So you can absolutely look at what are the protective beliefs, or just the beliefs that she has around that, and coach her in the here and now on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of those, just those nuances that comes up. And I've seen this a lot, you know, with some of us when we get some information about trauma, or we start working with a client who has a specific area of an issue that lies in some part of their lives, and it's a bit more specialist than this more general approach. So yeah, there is this kind of like, oh, can I go there? And what I would always say is stay with the person in the room in the here and now, and look at what is the impact of that instance that could be way in the past. What is the impact that's having on the client now? What are they believing about it now? Mm-hmm. Because that's where we get to make the most impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think maybe it was a time thing in this particular instance where we were getting quite close to the end, and I kind of tried to ask that question of like, how is this showing up now for you? Like, what are you noticing now? And I think she sort of went into storytelling mode a bit and kind of told me some other stuff about, yeah, the brother and the way that her parents interact with them both and things like that. I think what I can do next time is like to keep us focused on the now. I was trying to think, I feel like I did have a question came when you was talking and I've forgotten it again, I think I'm not too worried about like needing to like delve into that stuff so much. It's more like, how can I use it to, or not use it, but like, I guess, how can I apply the archetypes thing, or not even archetypes, but just self-doubt, the whole concept in general to.
And so what I would offer is that when a client's giving you a ton of context, usually that it's a kind of over-explaining thing, right? Unless I tell you everything, you won't know how, you won't respond in the way I need you to.
Mm.
Right. Unless I tell you all these details, I'm worried that you won't take my side, that you won't agree with me.
Right.
That you won't see just what is happening here. So that over-explaining is often a way of trying to create some safety in the coaching dynamic. Right. Mm. So when I have clients do that, I'm like, okay, I think I know enough. Tell me about how this is impacting you right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can feel a little bit like I'm interrupting or whatever. But if you've got a lot of context all the time, you can just say, can I have permission to interrupt you?
Yeah, I think I probably need to do that with this client anyway. And I also think this is a pattern of mine. Like, I am such an over-explainer. So, yeah, that's good to know.
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
but I think that's just interesting to notice as well, Soph, that you get to the heart of things 5 minutes before the end of the session.
Mm.
So that can be a way of saying, or a way in to say, have you noticed we get to something really juicy 5 minutes before the end?
Yeah, okay. That does happen a lot.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So how can we, you know, like get through some of the context? I don't need all the context.
Mm.
Could you repeat that wonderful sentence that you shared with Sophie? I think I know enough. And then there was the second part and I didn't capture.
Oh, I think I know enough about what's happening. Can you tell me about how this is impacting you now?
Got it. You think I'd be able to recreate that all by myself, but no.
No. I totally get it. Yeah. But yeah, and it's almost like, I don't know, so like, I think don't be afraid to talk about what you're talking about, right? Like talking about the actual, like, you know, like when, at the say what you might want to do, Soph, is, you know, if she comes up with something 5 minutes before the end of the next session, you can say, that feels really important.
Mm.
This feels really important. I've noticed we get here a lot, right?
Where something
really juicy comes up. So how could we do this differently? So we get time.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I really feel like that in literally every session. And I'm always like, I never think anything of it. But now that you say it like that, I'm like, wow, that's really a pattern. And I don't think of it as a problem because I'm just like, oh, well, next time, like I literally said those words to her today because she said something in particular. I said, that feels really important. I'm not going to rush us through it now, but let's come back to it. But that probably isn't ideal for every single session. So yeah, I think that's a really good like prompt to.
Well, and what you could do is say, like, so there's a couple of different ways to deal with that or manage that. get the most out of that is you can say in the moment, that feels really important.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting into the detail, what about that is important for you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So get the client to kind of, and we can talk about things like, can you bottom line it for me? I know that's a really great CTI phrase, but just bottom line it for me. I say this to my husband like 5 times a day because he over explains everything. And it's great to be able to sort of just say, just give me the deets and I'll ask supplementary questions, you know. Mm-hmm. But getting her to bottom line it and practice doing that, you can ask her to write down what matters and what you want to talk about in the next session. You can start sending out reflection questions a couple of days before, or the day before the session. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a system like I use Tori, and you can set it up so it sends out reflection questions beforehand. And you can even like edit that to say, when I send out these reflection questions, this is what I want you to have been thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that then on the start of the next session, you're picking that straight up from where she is in that moment. So not trying to recreate, because what can happen is the client goes, oh, I don't even remember what I really said at the last session.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I want you to be talking about how is this impacting you right now in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you. I didn't even write that down. I feel like I'm going to watch the recording back and make notes, because I just, everything you just said is like really great, but I was not going to be able to write it all down. That is super helpful. Thank you. That's so cool. Like it, but yeah, I didn't even know that was my question, but that was like exactly the answer that I needed. Thank you.
Love it. No, you're so welcome. I think that's really, really common. Like the over explaining lots of context. It happens a lot with people who are new to coaching and people who are not quite sure what they're there for.
Mm.
And folks who just want to create that sense of, is this safe? You know, is this relationship safe? Yeah. Really. Yeah. Cool.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks. Nice. Anything else coming up for folks? All good?
Okay. I mean, I could bring up 1,000 things. But the one that's coming up is that I know that I need to become more practiced at letting go of clients. And I have never done that. I've always just been like, I will just wait it out. It'll be fine. Right. And I always generally enjoy the people, but rather than like dealing with what I know is happening, I just kind of wait it out.
Right.
And that's been the practice in the past.
Yep.
I haven't really dealt with it. This hasn't become present before, since, you know, doing self-belief training, but I have a few clients right now that we've talked about having sessions come the fall, and I just feel like either they're not the right fit any longer, because, you know, my business is definitely changing and I want to change that focus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real concern about going, well, no, this is the work I'm doing, right? So part of it is like, this is the work I'm doing, and I'm not open to helping you with X, Y, and Z. So that's one thing. But what I also feel, and particularly with this, where it's even crunchier, like I can really say that, like, hey, you know, this is where I'm focusing, but where it's really crunchy is with a couple of clients that I genuinely like really love. And I know that they feel a lot of support from me, but I am doing too much work in sessions. Sass, you and I have talked about this, but it's like, there's certain people that I tend to be like, oh, let me, like all of my overfunctioning, like, let me get in there, comes into play. And I walk away from those calls like, fuck, I was not a good coach there. You know, like there's one client in particular who keeps coming back and I just am like, I am a terrible coach to you, right? But you love me and I love you. And so I really, a couple of things come up, like having the conversation feels very scary. And two, I really feel like she's going to, part of me really feels like she's going to feel abandoned by me as well. So I know that's all like my own personal family systems that were, you know, hard at work and at play here, but I'm also not entirely convinced. Part of me is also not entirely convinced that like the right thing to do is to say, because part of me is like, wait, she's an adult. She's paying her money. She's choosing. She keeps signing up. Where, you know, there's no complaints for her. So am I making these decisions on her behalf without consent? All of that.
Amazing. I love this. Love this. Love this. So let's talk about this client who's showing up as a client mm-hmm. and you're doing too much for. The reason yep. I want to talk about this one is because it's obviously the shittest one, right? It's the shittest situation. It's not a great, healthy dynamic. But I also think you're quite clear. Like for the clients where it's just like, it's not a match anymore, that's a different conversation. That feels quite clean to me.
I agree.
But this person who is, who you're doing too much for, right? So here's what I am observing. I'm doing too much. The only option is to just end it. Right? That is all or nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's interesting because what comes up is that I'm like, I don't trust myself to find the middle ground with this particular person. Right? Because I've been working with her for some time. And in group dynamics, this doesn't happen. It's like I'm off the hook in a weird way, but in one-on-one
I just want to interrupt you because I feel like you're doing a lot of explaining about the dynamic. Oh,
speaking of which, yeah.
and I feel like I've got it.
Yeah.
If that's okay. Yeah. So you do have, like you have a couple of choices here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the choice to, so we've got, what can you just give me the initials of the client?
M.
Okay.
MS, sure. MS.
MS client. Okay. So you have some choices, right? You can just end the relationship.
Yeah.
You can carry on as you are. What are your other choices?
The one that comes to me is like, just acknowledge that this is something that's happening and, you know, do a little extra work to connect with my, you know, own healthy adult self who's showing up before coaching, right?
Yep.
And set some clear, you know, clear ground rules for myself in those conversations.
The ground rules and boundaries with yourself. Yep. You had another option there, which was to kind of like, put the onus on your client. She's a grown up.
Yep. Yep.
What else? Is there any other options?
I mean, I could talk to her about it. I think that feels like a little bit like, I don't think she's aware of my, of what I feel.
Yep. You could refer her on. You could refer her to another coach.
Yep.
These are options, right? You don't have to think through the whys in the house.
Yeah.
We're just playing with the options. I just want you to see that all or nothing isn't great. It's like a protective response.
Yeah, it's like a total relief, honestly, to think that I just don't have to like even engage with this issue if I am not, if she's not my client anymore.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a childlike response, right? It's like, I get to run away. Amazing. Yeah. I love it so much. Yeah. Completely understandable, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've now come up with 6 potential ways to work through this. There may be more, but I think that's a good fat old decision option, mm-hmm. right? That's quite nice and chunky. And I just want you to see, like, we'll go through these and look at the pros and cons and stuff, but I just want you to see, isn't it interesting when you can see, oh, I'm an all or nothing, mm-hmm. how it feels like they are the only two options.
Yeah.
And then you start to go, what else could be true? And this comes up.
I also have to acknowledge that part of me is like, yeah, but I kind of really prefer all or nothing here. Like there's, is super childlike too, but I'm like, no, you know, like I either want, it's just, it's interesting. So there's I'm acknowledging like a little bit of resistance around all of these other options because it doesn't feel like the easiest thing. Each one of those represents something a little uncomfortable for me.
And if you had to rate like your general levels of energy and enthusiasm for your work right now, like from 1 to 10, where would you be?
Well, I mean, today.
Just give me a number. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now in your life.
Right now in my life is probably at a 6 or 7, but like has been recently at a 3.
Yeah. Okay. So somewhere between 3 and 6.
Yep.
I think that's really helpful just to give you a like an internal barometer, right?
So, yeah.
Because the last thing I want you to go is, well, if I was in my healthy adult self and I was at a 10, then I would do this option. Because we don't go into illusions here. We just stay with the reality.
Yeah.
Reality is energy level is a bit low. So your kind of capacity, the tolerance and capacity for this, we want to work with that constraint. Not put extra pressure on you, right?
Yeah.
And that's important because sometimes the best option is the least shit option for both you and your client. Well, not some idealized option. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, I think that I'm also thinking about the other reality, which is I'm not talking with her next week. Like we'll probably talk in another 6 weeks, right? We'll have the conversation. If I needed to have this conversation today, it would be like, you know what? It would probably be in more in the line of, I don't have the capacity for this, or I would kick it down the road a little bit because I know I'm in recovery. Right. Yep. So in terms of energetically, like just trying to get back, you know, to a higher level of energy. So I might be in a totally different place in September and feel like I have the capacity to discuss this dynamic or just, you know, come up with those ground rules and really stay with them. So that
sounds like your healthy adult self.
Yeah.
See how different that feels?
Yeah.
That's not childlike, fuck this, I'm out, right? That's okay. Actually, given my levels of energy, if this was in September, oh, it is, then I can be in a different place. Like you're in that grounded place now.
Yeah.
Nice. You got there fast.
Well, yeah, and it just makes me think of the pressure, you know, just that whole like, oh, I have such low energy, I need to know how to do it, like that pressure of being at the best state and being able to handle all of this, like even me bringing this, you know, it has been on my mind, like, oh gosh, I really need to deal with it. It's been on my mind for several weeks.
Yeah.
And so, and yet it's not imminent. Like, why am I giving myself a hard time?
Well, and also it's been on your mind for weeks. And this is the moment when you've felt you've had more capacity to even raise it and look at it.
Right.
So in 6 weeks' time, you may have more capacity. You may have less, but let's assume you'll pretty much stay where we're at, between 3 and 6.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
So we've got some options here, right? Let's start with referring her on to another coach. Like, yeah. Out of 10, how good does that option feel to you?
If I could trust and find the right person,
yeah,
it feels like great, you know? And also, I don't have somebody off the top of my head, and that feels like me doing more work to find her resources, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So how great does that feel? Like, you referring her on?
Probably not at this moment. Not great.
What would you give out of 10?
I would say probably like 3. I'm not super psyched about that.
That's great.
If I knew somebody off the top of my head, it'd be a no-brainer, right?
Okay.
But I don't.
Cool. So we're staying with this context, this moment, this client. It's mm-hmm. a 3. Nice. Mm-hmm. Put the onus on her and go, okay, well, you're a grown-up. You show up, and I will continue to show up the way I'm showing up.
I've been doing that for a while, and it doesn't feel true. So it doesn't feel feasible to me. I would say a 2 on that.
A 2. Nice.
Again, that's at the 3 to 6 capacity, but...
I'm with you. Yeah. And look, there's no like judgment around that, because yeah. I think that's just reality.
Yeah.
And that sounds perfect. I mean, this is kindness, right? You work to your capacity. It gives you a way of taking care of you and her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, moving the next session out. Like, I think that's already kind of happening, isn't it?
It's happening.
It's not
yeah.
till September. Yeah. And you could move it out further.
Yep.
If you needed to.
I really could.
Yeah.
This could be totally moot, honestly.
Yeah. You know? So where do you want to put, like, that gets to be like an 8 or something.
Yeah, that's an 8. Yeah.
Right? Carry on as you are.
I mean.
Is that
That's the easiest, but I feel not great about it. So yeah. Probably to be honest, like a 5.
I was just going to offer that. Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have some ground rules and boundaries with yourself.
It depends what they are. Like today, you know, yeah. That ground rule would say, like, let's say she wrote me and was like, can I have a session? I would probably say, no, not today, you know, yeah. or this week, period.
So no spontaneous
I'm not available.
Sessions?
Right. What's that?
No, like, spontaneous on-demand sessions. They've got to be planned.
Yeah, they've got to be planned. And yeah. I need to be checking in with my own energy, because yeah. I can't have more sessions where I feel exhausted at the end of it because I've done too much.
And what would you stop doing? What are these boundaries? If it feels shameful, we got you.
It's, you know, it doesn't feel shameful. It just feels so out of control. Like it's a child that's showing up there.
Yeah.
So what tends to happen is
when you say it's a child showing up, is that her or you?
Me. Right. I'm the child. Okay. Being like, you know, is that right? Do you, you know, like, I'm checking in constantly with her. Like, right. She's a very quiet person as well. And so, and I'm used to shocking. So like a lot of expression. And so maybe the ground rule is like finding a new way to check in with her that is not, you know, me trying to get validation.
Right. So she's quiet.
Yeah.
And you are like over caretaking.
Yes.
To see if anything is penetrating.
Yes. Is this right? I feel like I tend to put my, like.
So you go into rescue mode.
I go into rescue mode. I feel a little overbearing in those conversations. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So planned sessions, stop rescuing.
Yeah.
It sounds like your energy doesn't shift no matter how she shows up. Like you don't kind of match where she's at. So if she's quiet and unresponsive, do you just let there be lots of silence?
I do. I'm okay with a silence. Yeah, I'm just pushy. I'm real pushy, but it's like there's so much shame here. I'm super pushy with her. I am not pushy with other people, but I'm super pushy with her.
And what do you assume about her?
I think that I assume that she, like, sometimes I think, like, oh, she's okay, this is what it is. I think I assume that she's not saying what she really thinks. Like, so I am trying to mind read for her rather than, and this goes back to letting her be an adult, putting the onus back on her, right? I'm not treating her like an adult in the conversations. I'm like, wait, is that, you know, constantly checking in. Is that right? Are you sure? Versus just treating her like a person.
Why do you think you're doing that? What is that behavior protecting you from?
I think it's protecting me from being too pushy. Like, I honestly think that I'm trying to draw her out, and so I'm pushing harder.
Yeah.
So that, like, I know that I'm creating exactly what I don't want to have happen, but I honestly think that it's I'm trying to protect myself from being the boss in the room, but I'm being the boss in the room.
So the checking is, are you okay? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Am I doing this right? Is this working for you? What is it?
It's like, is this you? Is this you? Is this you? You know, not am I okay? But it's like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?
Right.
That's happening the entire time. And then I'm like, maybe you're not okay, so why don't I offer this other thing that'll help you become even more okay in my mind?
Okay. So your assumption is she's not okay.
There you go. Yeah.
She's quiet and not very verbal.
Yeah.
And so you assume something's wrong.
Yeah.
What else could be true?
I mean, what I know is also true is she's incredibly introspective and reflective person and doesn't speak until she has her thoughts together and then is like, this is what it is, right? This is the thought. So she
isn't going to come up with stuff on the spot.
No. And it's so interesting because she's one of the, you know, when you have sessions with people that you're like, I don't know if this ever happens, but there earlier on where I'd be like, what happened in that session? I had no idea. That was terrible. And then like you talk to them the next time and they're like, that was amazing. And then I did this and this and this and this and this. She is one of those people who walks away and it's like this little ripple effect of what happens from the spark of the conversation.
Do you notice like, what, how you just phrased that is that she is one of those people who, what you said was, enjoys and gets a lot out of our sessions.
Right.
Appears to get value from the sessions. She's one of those people. How fucking dare she? right? But I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you've got some evidence, it sounds like, that she's getting value from the sessions, but there's something about this dynamic that feels unhealthy to you that she may not even be aware of.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of judgment on my part. I want her to be in a more, I want her to be in a different place, right?
You want her to be different.
Well, I mean, I adore, like, you know, no, obviously, but also it would be soothing to me.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It would really help me if you would just be different. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just what I'm hearing. And this is perfect, right? Especially when you have low energy.
Yeah.
Right? How annoying to have a client who doesn't respond and bounce off you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and so the reason just to pull that apart a little bit, Kate, is just so you can see, oh, this is a dynamic that just isn't kind of working as it is, that she is quiet and introspective, and that response sends you into kind of rescuing and overwork.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes a lot of sense to me for, you know, like, I really get that.
Yeah.
And it really also breaks my heart because, like, I am assuming, I know that I'm assuming all the wrong things here. Like, nothing that part of me believes is true. That my healthy self really knows that, right? From evidence, from, you know, all the things that have come to pass. And so that's where that lack of self-trust comes into place, when I'm like, I know this, and yet I keep like just diving into that pool,
right,
in these calls, and that feels really unfair.
So what would you like to do differently? Like, what's your healthy self offering to you as a different way to show up that might support her?
Well, I think that there's a combination of these factors that need to come into play. I think I can say, listen, there's an aspect of what we're working on that doesn't really fit with what I'm doing any longer in my work. Let's be open about that and have an open conversation about whether or not this really makes sense, right? That feels like one part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And also,
and so what would that remove from your work together?
I think it wouldn't necessarily remove, well, one, it would remove any frustration that I might feel around, like, why are we working on this? This isn't the right, like, sometimes I feel a little like, oh, this isn't.
So you get into kind of like the what to do,
yeah,
strategy, the systems,
yeah, exactly,
right.
Yeah. And then
business problems.
Yes, the business problems, real logistical, and I just like rescue all day long in that space. You know, try this. What about that? What about this? What about that?
Yeah.
So that would stop that one, and it would also just create that consensual, you know, and also real clear boundaried space, right? It opens the door to,
yeah,
maybe we're not the right people to be working together at this stage. Are you feeling that too? Maybe it makes sense for us to talk about you finding a different coach. You're in a different place than you have been.
So one way that you could, like, I think you're right. My sense is there is a little bit of work you could do just to change how you're showing up.
I agree too, yeah.
To start with, and then that conversation might be in another two sessions time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, if what she is asking for is solutions to business problems, you can kind of like have a mental like bell that goes off in your mind. Oh, business problem. Could she Google this? Could she make a decision? right? Could she find someone to, and so then the nature of the coaching goes to what choices do you have? Like, you know, what are the possible solutions?
Well, even doing this, right? This kind
of thing. Doing this?
Yeah.
And looking at why she isn't making the decisions will get you into protective belief territory. Why? Which is where you can support her.
Yeah.
What about that feels risky? Will get you into belief territory.
Yeah.
There's a great book that you might enjoy. I think I've got it. I'm going to send it to you. It's basically a developmental coaching approach to leadership and organizations.
I would love that.
I'll send you the title. It's by Jennifer Garvey Berger, who's ace. But she talks about like these are the skills leaders actually need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would give you a bit more of some scope, or it's, you know, some fun holiday reading, but that might give you some scope around like getting to the heart of not the decision itself, because actually that's dull as shit and it doesn't really matter. Yeah. And it's not really a coaching thing, right? It's a solution thing. Then you get into consulting territory and that feels like where you want to leave, right?
I am outside door. Yeah.
So moving, so like having that little bell ring, oh, ding, ding, ding. We've got a business problem, right? Let's ask a better question. So we end up solving the right problem.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that there's a conversation around, and here's also what I think is happening. I don't think that I'm wrong also around her being more reliant on me than is probably supportive of her, right? So she's coming to me with like, well, what do I do here? And I think I can coach around that too, right? So instead of trying to like, you know, maneuver my way out of that dynamic, right? Really help her, you know, instead of just putting the onus on her as an adult, actually inviting her to trusting her own decisions, trusting that she can do this, that I'm actually just a tool and, you know, she's the person.
Well, you're kind of decision agnostic, right? Like you don't really care what choice she makes.
Yep.
That's her job to care about that. What you can coach her on is A, why she isn't making that decision, or why she's trying to outsource it.
Yes. I think that is where it is.
Like, I think there's some real, like, you've got some real skill at articulating what the actual problem is here.
Yeah.
But it's because your protector is getting tangled up with hers, then how the problem we end up solving is what is the solution rather than why aren't you making that choice?
Yeah.
See how subtle that is, and yet it makes a world of difference.
No, it feels like that's exactly the dynamic.
Yeah.
I am, and in part of me is really avoiding, you know, that having that conversation, which I'll figure that out. But you know, and so I'm just going, okay, I guess we'll just do solutions and like just, you know, muscling through that. So it is a radical change and far, far more supportive and worth her time and mine.
And the thing is, she doesn't have to change how she's showing up. It's only you that needs to shift your focus and this will change it. And then, right. And the thing is, you're absolutely right. This is an invitation. I want to invite you to think about why you're outsourcing that to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're getting those same questions, you can say, hey, I've noticed you ask me that question a lot. And I think I haven't served you very well, perhaps by trying to answer that. But I'm just pausing because I think that this is actually, this is your job. to answer this question. What I want to do is support you to find a good answer. So you're really like teaching her how to use this relationship to get the most out of it. Because as soon as you basically treat her like the leader she is, she will start to trust herself.
Yeah.
So yep. How is that starting to feel for you? Like this option of ground rules and boundaries with yourself? Does that feel like it's a 10?
Yeah, that feels like I could certainly.
She says leading the witness.
I know. That feels like a 10.
Yeah.
Make it a 10.
Yeah. And acknowledging this dynamic with the client.
Well, I think acknowledging the dynamic we were just talking about is far better than acknowledging my rescue dynamic.
Right? Exactly. I think this is the thing, right? Like it's the solution focus.
Yes.
That feels pretty high too, right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of like a thing you will do?
I think so. Yeah, I think I will.
So that's kind of a 9 or a 10?
Yeah, I would say a 9. Yeah.
Perfect. How does ending the relationship feel now?
It feels pretty low. Yeah. It's like a 2.
2?
It feels like an abandonment, honestly.
Nice.
And I don't mean that because it's just like the easy cop out, not very supportive way. Yeah.
And the other option we had was talk to the client, and that was kind of about your rescuing dynamic.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. How does that feel?
Unnecessary.
I'm with you. So that's like a 1.
Yeah.
None of her business. What you have showing up. We don't want to give her that job.
No. No, exactly.
See how that approach just helps you to see, wow, I've got shit tons of choices.
Ugh.
All of the ones that you've scored high actually will grow and expand you as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got options here, right? We're going to experiment with you having some really clear ground rules around how you're going to show up, what you're going to coach on.
Yeah.
You've got some options to actually, you know, talk through that dynamic with the client. You've got some, the other high scoring option is to maybe move out the session a little longer if your energy is really low, right? Right. That you could actually stretch it out a little bit.
Right. Which is like a new rule in my world anyway. I mean, I'm not in the business of moving things around too much, but if I'm feeling shit, I need to acknowledge that.
Yeah, exactly. So. Right?
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Right. Saving the world here. It's so good.
What I love is I can, as someone who shares that proving themselves and slightly rescue-y vibe, especially when I'm tired, because I'm like, let me just fucking tell you the answer.
Right? Yes.
You know, that gets really hard. Is that you're just like, okay, I'm ready to hear what, you know, I'm ready to play. This is the kind of shift in the way you show up to your people. I think if you can use this relationship as an experiment with really showing up differently, my sense is that actually a beautiful result will happen in that you get to see how you can really lead and step into the next level of your mastery. But she gets to be this amazing teacher for you, and she doesn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
What an honor.
I love that.
It's such a respectful kind of role to give her without giving her the responsibility of it.
Right.
It's like, I trust you to help me figure this out.
Which I really do. Right. There are other clients who might send me into like a spin that I wouldn't feel that way about. But with this one, she's really special. And yet, what the fuck am I doing? That's how I've been feeling. I feel like I've been really deserving her. So this feels 100 like equal and opposite is, you know, letting it be a growth place in for us to learn from each other. I think that's really beautiful.
And I would offer that the only thing I would add to this is always speak to yourself about this dynamic with compassion.
Yeah.
You're tired, you're a bit burnt out. Mm-hmm. You're making changes in your business. You're doing this deeply courageous thing of shifting a bit of an unhealthy dynamic, which is really, really courageous. Not a lot of coaches even bother looking at this stuff, let alone trying to change it in a really conscious and intentional way. This is beautiful work.
Thank you.
You should be very, very proud.
Thank you.
So give yourself a round of applause when you have that session where you shift it.
Okay.
Even come up with a little way to celebrate that milestone, because I think you'll look back on that and go, whoa, something mm-hmm. really changed for me there.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and come report back.
I will. Thank you. Thank you all.
Ace, nice work, Kate. Thank you. So fun. And that is one of the self-trust tools, right? This dilemma idea. Cool. You just give people the
option. I will be doing that like a million times over, I feel. Like,
totally.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, right, I don't even know what you really coach her on. I don't really know what her business is. I didn't need a ton of context. I just needed to understand, how is this impacting you right now, and what choices do we think you have? And what, 20 minutes later, you've got a really lovely, respectful, it feels like it's quite grounded, quite healthy way forward.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you.
You guys rock. Okay. That was really cool. Thanks for bringing such beautiful, beautifully like thoughtful and, you know, considered issues. I think it's just ace. I'm so grateful to get to hang out with you all. So go have some fun over summer. Eat ice cream, swim in the sea, try not to get burnt, stay hydrated. Go to Creation Station. Yeah. And I'll see everybody in September. Yeah. All right, loves. Take care. Thank you. Bye. Bye.